Aware that his finding would entirely upend what was understood about the past, and urged by his friend the Reverend William Buckland, he of the gowns and experimental appetite, to proceed with caution, Mantell devoted 3 painstaking years to seeking evidence to support his conclusions. He sent the tooth to Cuvier in Paris for an opinion, but the great Frenchman dismissed it as being from a hippopotamus. Cuvier later apologized handsomely for this uncharacteristic error. One day, while doing research at the Hunterian Museum in London, Mantell fell into conversation with a fellow researcher who told him the tooth looked very like those of animals he had been studying, South American iguanas. A hasty comparison confirmed the resemblance, and so Mantell's creature became Iguanodon, after a basking tropical lizard to which it was not in any manner related. Mantell prepared a paper for delivery to the Royal Society. Unfortunately, it emerged that another dinosaur had been found at a quarry in Oxfordshire and had just been formally described by the Reverend Buckland, the very man who had urged him not to work in haste. It was the Megalosaurus, and the name was actually suggested to Buckland by his friend Dr. James Parkinson, the would-be radical and eponym for Parkinson's disease. Buckland, it may be recalled, was foremost a geologist, and he showed it with his work on Megalosaurus. In his report for the Transactions of the Geological Society of London, he noted that the creature's teeth were not attached directly to the jawbone, as in lizards, but placed in sockets in the manner of crocodiles. But having noticed this much, Buckland failed to realize what it meant. Megalosaurus was an entirely new type of creature. So although his report demonstrated little acuity or insight, it was still the first published description of a dinosaur. And so to him, rather than the far more deserving Mantell, goes the credit for the discovery of this ancient line of beings. Unaware that disappointment was going to be a continuing feature of his life, Mantell continued hunting for fossils. He found another giant, the Hylaeosaurus, in 1833, and purchasing others from quarrymen and farmers until he had probably the largest fossil collection in Britain. Mantell was an excellent doctor and equally gifted bone hunter, but he was unable to support both his talents. As his collecting mania grew, he neglected his medical practice. Soon fossils filled nearly the whole of his house in Brighton and consumed much of his income. Much of the rest went to underwriting the publication of books that few cared to own. Illustrations of the Geology of Sussex, published in 1827, sold only 50 copies and left him £300 out of pocket, an uncomfortably substantial sum for the times. In some desperation, Mantell hit on the idea of turning his house into a museum and charging admission, then belatedly realized that such a mercenary act would ruin his standing as a gentleman, not to mention as a scientist, and so he allowed people to visit the house for free. They came in their hundreds, week after week, disrupting both his practice and his home life. Eventually, he was forced to sell most of his collection to pay off his debts. Soon after, his wife left him, taking their 4 children with her. Remarkably, his troubles were only just beginning.